I am so blessed to be able to be in the Word with you this morning. What a wonderful day to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Our Savior lives. Just like the song mentioned, we serve a risen Lord. We serve a risen Savior. So praise God for that. Let's go to Him in prayer, and then let's get into the Word, shall we? Father, I thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to be here together, even if it's over social media or on whatever format that we're using. I just thank you, Father, for time in your Word to celebrate our Savior's resurrection. Let that hope of glory fill our heart, knowing that because our Savior raised, so we will also raise in glory. And so we fear no death, and we are thankful, Father, for this hope that you've given us through salvation, and it's only through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. And so I thank you for being with us this morning. And, I just wanted to talk to us about how it all began in a garden, right? Everything, it just began in a garden. And we know that story very, very clearly. God made everything, created everything. And when He was done creating, He was very, very much pleased. But after man sinned in the garden, God had to remove man from the garden and really remove man from His presence and everything that man enjoyed being with God in the garden, he lost. And so as He is exiled or taken out, driven out from the garden, we see sin enter into the world and just downward spiral. In Genesis 6, God is about to flood the earth. He says this in verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent and of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And so really the story then continues on as God goes through with this plan or with His plan to flood the earth. And the rest of Scripture is showcasing that. And along the way we have these precious promises that God is going to bring about the Messiah to save the world, or to those that would believe in the Messiah. And so, I want us to remember that everything was good in the garden, and then it changed with sin. And the Son of God came to do away with sin, to be victorious over sin, and He was victorious over sin. And He was also victorious over death. And that's why when He died, it was just as important that He would die on the cross, that He would also raise. When He was telling His disciples that He must go into Jerusalem to die, He would also tell them that He also must raise. And if it started in the garden, it would only make sense for us to start again in the garden. And so, turn with me to John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, we have the account of the empty tomb. And so beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first." Interesting how John lets us know that he was faster and arriving first to the tomb. "And stooping and looking, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb and saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered and saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again and to their own homes. They went to their own homes. But somebody didn't go back. It's interesting to see the faithfulness of the women who were there with Jesus. Verse 11 says, "Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so, as she wept, she stood and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' So she's asked twice, 'Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener." We're back in a garden. And Mary is speaking to Jesus, and she does not know that it's Jesus because she thinks that he's a gardener. But listen to what is said next. "She said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Hebrew, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and that he had said these things to her." What an amazing joy. Mary went from thinking that this man was just some simple gardener to realizing when he had called her out by name that she was looking at her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that he had said is true. He has risen from the tomb. She went from thinking that she was speaking to a gardener to realizing she's speaking to her Savior, and everything that he had said is true. He's risen from the dead from the grave. Even did the extra that we don't do. Right? We don't even wake up and fold our linen all the time. She went there with hope. But her heart was broken initially, weeping. And then she realizes that she's speaking to her Savior, speaking to the Lord Jesus. Interesting when you think of the story of Ruth. Ruth is down and out. She has lost her husband, and yet she clings to Naomi. And this makes this precious statement, this wonderful statement, your God will be my God. And here we have Jesus and we have Mary. And Jesus tells Mary, why are you clinging to me? It's important for us to know this, that our Savior rose bodily. Was not some mystical spirit, but just like Thomas will do later in a little over a week, Mary was able to touch Jesus. She clung to Jesus. Do you have that kind of passion? Do you have that kind of love? When you see your Savior, are you going to cling to Him? Remember his attitude towards the children and telling his disciples, let them come. Let them come. Beloved, you will be able to approach your Savior, cling to your Savior. And now, while we await that precious time, are you even clinging to Him now, this morning? He is risen. And when you wake up and realize the grace that God has placed upon you, cling to your risen Savior. And listen to what he says. I have not yet gone. I haven't ascended to the Father. She had Him so very tightly, grasping Him. She did not want to lose Him a second time. What a love, what a great, great love that our Savior has for us. So sensitive to what our needs are. If He would have risen and ascended, things would have been greatly different. But He, in a great demonstration of love, shows Himself to His disciples, and here to Mary. He tells Mary to go. He says, go to my brethren. But don't miss that aspect. He says, go to my brothers. Go to my brothers, meaning that void, that separation between God and man is satisfied. He has paid the debt. And like the wages of sin, our death, and He paid that. So He shows that He conquers death in raising. He raised from the dead, and now everything is made right with believers in Christ Jesus and with God. And He can tell His brothers this. Tell them, go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and also your Father. My God is your God. This we cannot understate. that the very Father that the Lord Jesus has is our very Father. And the very God that Jesus has is our God. And He has brought us fully into the family of God. That chasing Adam and Eve out of the garden is done away with. And with faith in Jesus Christ, you are welcomed fully, not as grandchildren to God, but truly sons of God, beloved of God, precious to God. The morning of the resurrection was the beginning of a new relationship that man would have with God. And it's captured here. When we turn to Hebrews chapter 2, this statement is made of Christ and His sacrifice and our relationship as believers. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, But we do see Him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren. It is because of this precious sacrifice and because of His raising from the dead and calling His disciples brothers, I can now look at you as fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. And when we are raised to glory, we will be up there as brothers and sisters with the Lord. He calls us brethren. And so I call you brethren as well. Brothers and sisters, He has risen. And I hope you are saying, He has risen indeed. Let's praise God for this beautiful relationship, this wonderful relationship that we did not deserve, but one that He graced us with. Let's praise Him for our great salvation. Father, we thank You so much, for it's by Your power and by the Holy Spirit You brought our Savior back to life from death. And so You also breathe life into us and bring us into life in Christ to You, to offer up our life in sacrifice and worship. Father, I pray that You would bless us with a day that we can honor You in faith. Lord Jesus, we cling to You now, but there will be a time when we have a much more full grasp of You, and we know that You will not push us away. And so we thank You for You raised out of the tomb to be our wonderful Savior that is now seated on a throne. And so we long to be in perfect fellowship with You. So, Father, please be with us now as we celebrate this day, the resurrection of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.